All right. Good morning, everybody. It is good to have you. Find your place and stand up if you would. We are excited. Wait till you see the auditorium. I know a number of you have gone back there and peeked through and saw a little bit of it, but wait till you see the auditorium. You don't even recognize it. As I said, I did my best to save the curtains, but I could not save them. Come on, somebody. So they are gone, but you won't believe, you're not going to believe it. It doesn't even look the same totally. And the ceiling's gone. The ceilings are much higher. There's walls in the front. The stage is completely curved now. We had to tear all that out. The back walls go all the way up there. I don't know how tall they are, 30 feet tall or so. I don't remember how tall they are. And so it really is going to be different. So I think we're going to enjoy it once we're back there. Hopefully, I've not been saying dates, but hopefully within a month or so, we will be back in there. And we're doing our best. We're working day in, day out. And also, you're going to really enjoy the foyer when you see the foyer. It's a foyer now. It's totally big. We've knocked out walls and this and that. And so those of you that do construction, you're going to really enjoy it. I want to talk to you today about prayers that will supercharge your prayer life. There are some ways to pray that you get knocked out of your regular way to pray. I remember the morning after the floods hit, we had gone up to the second morning. We'd gone up to Brookhaven, Mississippi, and got hotel rooms up there. And the reality of all that we were facing, kind of hits you in the head. And it really, how many know your prayer life can be different at times than at other times? And what you pray, how you pray it, is totally different. I've learned that posture in prayer, it's not magical, but it's biblical, because there were different postures in the Bible, that's shown. Some are, kneeling, and some are prostrate before the Lord, your hands raised, numerous ways that the Bible talks about how to pray. And I found that posture to praying is sort of like tone is to communication. Tone, communication is words, but your tone is how you say the words that you say. And prayer is prayer, but I found many times that posture is sort of like the tone, what tone is to communication. It kind of shows what's happening on the inside of your heart. Because when those in the New Testament or the Old Testament prostrated themselves before God, they were in desperate need. And it was the tone of their praying and all that took place. So it's one thing to understand all that and to really grasp it, but there are times when God just wants to raise your level of praying, because you get in a routine, you get in a mode where literally you just, pray for your aunt, your uncle, your mom, your dad, your kids, your brothers, your dad, and God bless them, and go to bed, and that's the night. So the Lord's been challenging me these 21 days is to up the prayer life in terms of what we pray for. And I want to talk to you today about five different prayers, types of prayers you can pray that'll supercharge your prayer life. And I believe the Lord will do that. Moody said, D.L. Moody, who was a great evangelist of years gone by, said, God is not bothered by our constant coming and asking. The way to trouble God is not to come and ask. Did you hear that? God's not troubled by your constant coming and asking. God is troubled by you not coming and asking. You have not because you what? You ask not. So I believe that prayer enables us to no longer just be victims of the circumstances of your life, but it enables you to become a victor in the midst of it. And so we're going to talk about that. And I like what Ian Bounds, who was a great prayer warrior, and he wrote many books. He wrote this. He said, "The gospel of Christ is not moved by popular wave," and that's an old term. "It has no self-propagating value or power, that it moves as the people who carry it move." So the gospel will not be spread just on its own. It'll only be spread by those who carry it. And the way that those who carry it will move it is through prayer primarily. And out of that prayer life will come their life story. The Bible says in the early book of Acts that They understood that these men were uneducated, but they had been with Jesus. And so there was an understanding there. So I want to talk to you about five prayers that will supercharge your prayer life. Let's pray today. Father, we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. We pray, O God, the eyes of our understanding would be open, Lord, that our hearts would grasp what our heads understand, and that it would go from just knowledge to truth that would set us free. We love you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. You can be seated today. Let me just say, because I was asked numerous times, I have my wedding ring on my right pinky finger. The reason was, if you look at my right hand where my wedding ring goes, I had it on there the other day and I was changing a battery out on a tractor that was really tight. So I put my hand over the negative post so that it would not, the wrench as I was tightening the positive, but would not hit the negative. Come on, somebody. How many understand that the ring will transmit? I knew what Frodo felt like when he put on the ring of power. I'll tell you one thing. It came off fast. And so that helped my heart. You know, that's the left finger there. It'll do it. All right, number one. The number one type of prayer that'll help you is mountain-moving prayers. Mountain-moving prayers. Let me ask you a question. If all of your prayers in this last week were answered, every one of the prayers that you prayed were answered, every one of them, would your world be changed, or would only your life be changed? If every prayer you prayed this last week was answered by God immediately this week, what would change? Would you change only? Were your prayers only concerned about you? Or would there be, did you pray some, you know, audacious, did you pray some big prayers? Where if those prayers had been answered, a lot of more would be, would a lot more be changed? Matthew 17 and verse 20 says, "And he said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to the mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Everybody say impossible. Nothing will be impossible to you. I don't know if you ever had a child and all ever comes for, "Daddy, can I have a penny?" Yeah, here you go. "Daddy, can I have a penny? Daddy, can I have a penny?" Can you imagine, maybe if you're a child of the living God, is that the kind of prayers that you're praying continually? Is only penny prayers? To where you're asking for something. So I think that sometime what God wants to do in these 21 days is to challenge you and me to pray some things that's so audacious that only God could accomplish them. Some prayers that only God could do. Your prayers reflect what you believe about God. If you pray little bitty prayers, then your concept of God is probably that you've got a small God. I remember Brother Eccles wrote a book called, Brother Eccles, it was an old gentleman that I grew up under and learned from. And he wrote a book called, "Your God is Too Small." Look at somebody and say that. Would you look at somebody and just say, "Your God is too small"? Your God is too small. Acts chapter 4 and verse 29. This is the early church, and listen to what they said. "Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal, signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Now, I don't know. I thought about this the other day. Was if there was any generation that really probably didn't need signs and wonders and miracles and all that, would probably have been that early generation. Because they had so many witnesses of the resurrection of the Lord. There were hundreds of people that literally had saw the resurrection of Jesus. And they could go throughout and say, "Hey, no, I saw him with my own eyes. He was dead, but I saw him alive." They had some of the greatest preachers in all the world. They had Apostle Paul. They had Peter, who was a great speaker. They had Stephen, who was a great speaker. And even with these great preachers, and even with these eyewitness accounts of the resurrection of the Lord, they're still praying audacious prayers where they're asking God to do a miraculous thing that only God could do. And the reason they were asking it was, "God, you know the threats, you know what's happening, and you know what's happening, but Lord, we need you to do some impossible things in our midst, some mountain-moving answers to prayer, so that the people that are listening to us will know that there's a God in heaven." Come on, somebody. And so they begin to ask the Lord for that. They begin to ask the Lord, "Lord, do miracles. Lord, do miraculous things. Stretch forth your hand and to heal and signs and wonders, Lord." So they begin to ask for mountain-moving prayer. When's the last time you asked God for that kind? When was your prayer life when you're praying on your own? "God, send a sign or a wonder. Do miracles through me, Lord, this week. Lord, do something that only you could do, Lord. We need it. You know, I told you, we have heat on in here. It might be a little bit too hot, but we have heat on in here. And but you won't believe, we'd started Tuesday because Monday was a national holiday. We saw the weather report leading out to where it's supposed to be 24 degrees on Sunday morning. And we realized we need to get heat in these buildings. Well, we'd had the gas turned off. And when I'm about to say that, Barry came and told me I was wrong about the FEMA paying 80-20. FEMA pays 90%. Come on, somebody. How many want the number for FEMA and you can call them? And that's a miracle. I'll tell you another story. That's a miracle in itself. But we had gotten the gas turned off. Well, until we got everything up to par, the problem with bringing inspectors out is that when you bring them out, your current old buildings then have to come up to new code. And they got all these new codes and all that stuff. So we've been trying to get everything up to par and everything like that before we call the inspectors out completely. So finally we said, we need to call the gas inspector. We need to get a gas inspection. So we call down there where the process is this. You have to call the plumbers, and the plumbers have to come out, and they have to put a test on the gas lines. And right now it's 30 PSI. They have to put 30 pounds of pressure on the gas line. It has to hold for 24 hours. And then after it holds for 24 hours, you have to call an inspection into the city. The city comes out to inspect it, and they inspect it. They pass it. Then they call. Then they go back, and then they'll fax into Entergy, who we got our gas with. And Entergy then will send somebody out. This is Tuesday. So I call the plumbers. So he said, well, we'll come out. We're busy. We'll come out later today. Came out later today on Tuesday, and they didn't have the stuff they needed, so they had to order it. So Wednesday they came back. Well, Wednesday they come back, and they're working most of the day. They're having to they said, some of your stuff is too old. You know, it's been here since the 70s. You know, you got to change this out. The current code is this. You got to do this on the code. So they're working the whole day Wednesday, and they're not being able to get it. And so Thursday, Wednesday's gone. Now it's Thursday. Come on, somebody. So I had the plumber come and said, well, it's going to take a miracle. If you go have gas, he said, I'm guessing you're going to have gas in about a week. You'll have heat in about a week. So we began to pray. We just said, oh, God, come on, somebody, stretch forth your hand and do a miracle. And so Thursday morning, they got everything done. And Thursday morning, they came, put the valves on there, and put on 30 pounds, and everything held. It was good. Well, Thursday, about mid-morning, then the plumber calls into the city to call for an inspection. And he said, the problem is they are way behind. It is so packed. I mean, even the chief guy is out in the field doing inspections. They're so far behind. He calls into the city Thursday about midday. He says, I'd like to call an inspection for Victor. The woman went, it's already passed. He said, what? He said, I'm just now calling the inspection in. No, sir, it's on here. It says it's already passed. How many know angels can type? Anybody know that angels can type? So I called him. I said, he called me back. He said, Pastor Workman, he said, I don't know why. I said, well, don't call them. Do not call them again. So I call Entergy. I said, Entergy, I said, I'd like to know if the city has faxed over this. Well, they hadn't. So I waited later in the afternoon. They had not. So then I called a buddy of mine, Danny. I said, Danny, and they said, hey, I'm down that area. I said, listen, go ahead. I said, I know what to do. I've done this. He was going to contract. He said, I know what to do. He said, I'm not going to ask for who did the inspection. I'm just going to go in and ask the woman, could you please? So Danny goes in, and Danny says, we've got some babies, and we've got some women coming, and pregnant, and 24 degrees. This is the lady at the front desk. Absolutely. Where is that? She faxes that thing over to Entergy. Entergy calls us about an hour later. We'll be there between 8 and 12 in the morning to turn your gas on. Come on, somebody. And we were telling the story Thursday night in the prayer time, and Gary Etheridge said, hey, Gary does a lot of, he said, I'll be there in the morning. When they get there, call me, and I'll bleed all the lines and get all the units. And we got here. Some of the units would not work. There was problems with them. And before the end of the day, with Gary Gautreau too, they fixed those things. And everybody say, thank you, Lord, for heat today. Amen. How many know there are times when God just likes to do tremendous things? God just likes to show off sometimes, to show. And signs and wonders, listen, can never save a soul, but it can knock these unbelievers out of their complacency. where, you know, the Bible says that sometimes, I'll never forget this. I was in a service one time, and there was a new person sitting back then was a pew. And I'll never forget that a prophetic word came out and a tongues and interpretation. And right behind that person was the person that came out in tongues. And I thought, oh, Lord, because you should have seen this person's in it. She went, I thought, what in the world? And, you know, afterwards, that person came to me. She said, I don't know what that was, but I never felt anything like that in my life. How many know when it's God? The Bible says that he will reveal the contents of people's hearts by the gifts. So listen, won't you begin to pray for God to use you in your gift? Whatever your gift is, let God begin to use you. That's the first prayer. So why don't you pray this 21 days? Pray for mountain-moving prayers. Up your prayer life a little bit. Do some tremendous. Ask God for things that only God himself can do. Everybody say amen. All right, number two. Here's the second of the five prayers that will supercharge your prayer life is as long as it takes prayers. You need to switch your prayers from ASAP prayers to ALAIT prayers. You know what ASAP prayers are? As soon as possible. Lord, as soon as possible. And ALIT prayers is as long as it takes prayers. One of the big deals about Luke chapter 18 and verse 1 says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart. Everybody say, not lose heart. 2 Peter 1 and 4 through 8 says it this way, For by these he has granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, love. Listen, there is something needed in prayer called perseverance, and there is a need in that, and you really need to think long, because most of our prayer life is ASAP prayers. We want our prayer answered as soon as possible. And we don't pray as long as it takes prayers. I read this story this week and I read it before. It was on the Swedish island of Visingo. And it was a Swedish island. It belongs to Sweden. And they found a mysterious, back in the early 1900s, they found a mysterious forest of oak trees on this island. And they had no idea why some of the people, but let me give you the story. It says they because they were not indigenous to that island, but they found this huge grove of oak trees. And when they did that, it would have been unknown for a century. And then in 1980, the Swedish Navy received a letter from the Forestry Department of Sweden reporting that their requested ship lumber was ready. The Navy didn't even know it had ordered any lumber. And after a little historical research, it would discover that in 1829, the Swedish Parliament, recognizing that it takes oaks over 150 years to mature, and anticipating a shortage of lumber around the turn of the 21st century, ordered that 20,000 oak trees be planted on Visingo, the island, and protected for future Navy use. How many think that's thinking long term? That's thinking 150 years into the future. That's doing something. Listen, we need some prayers that are ASAP prayers. That always, oh God, today, oh God, do this, oh God. But we begin to pray some prayers that are long term prayers. That we're planning for our kids and our grandkids and our great grandkids. Our generations to come, our country, not only in our lifetime, but in our country to come in the next lifetime. It's not enough just to dream big and pray big, but we need to pray long and long term. Daniel, in chapter 10 and verse 12, then he said, do not be afraid, Daniel, from the first day that you set your heart on understanding this and on humbling yourself before your God. Your words were heard, and I've come in response to your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. Then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came for me, and I had been there, left there with the kings of Persia. And it's literally said, from the first day, before the words came out of your vocal cords, God already heard the need. God had already, it's like when they call down the city to call the inspectors, before you call, I will answer, says the Lord. Amen. I thought about that when that guy said, we had even called. God said, before I call, come on somebody. I had a good time witnessing to him. I had a fun time. And so when you understand that literally the angel reveals the importance of praying through. Because had he quit on day 21, he wasn't praying an ASAP prayer. He was praying as long as it takes prayer. And I'll guarantee you, had it been 40 days, Daniel would still be praying on the 40th day. He had set his heart to pray as long as it would take to pray. And so he prayed. What would have happened had he quit on the 20th day? What would have happened, you know, that when others had they quit earlier and on and on. So Daniel's prayer was heard before he'd even spoken it. So we told us, and what this tells us is the process of how prayer is processed in heaven. Before the words ever come out of your vocal cords, heaven hears it already. Before you ever utter it, heaven's already heard it. Before your prayer was said, Daniel, it was heard in heaven. When it comes into your heart, before it even comes out. But there was a process. It showed the way that prayer is a process. It showed that there is such a thing as a spiritual warfare in heaven. It showed there are things that we need to may not understand at the moment and at the time. Can you imagine? Daniel had a chance to talk with his angel that was the protection over his life and over his country. You know, Jesus said one time that the angel of every child of God sees the face of God in heaven. Did you know that every one of you has a protective angel? And some of you need one twice. Come on, somebody. And I think in him, wouldn't it be wonderful to be able to talk to your angel and him tell you things about your life? You know that prayer you prayed? Well, God heard it the day you prayed it. But there's been a warfare over your life, over your children, over your bank account, over your money, over your house, over your situation. There's been this warfare in heaven going on. I know you don't see it. You don't feel it. You don't know why God hasn't answered in 20-some days. But Daniel, I finally broke through. There's been a warfare. So thank you for not quitting. Thank you for praying a prayer as long as it takes kind of prayer. And so the Bible says that the angel appeared to Daniel. So I think we need to do this sometime. We just need to learn how to stop, drop, and pray. Come on, somebody. You need to learn how to sometime when you're discouraged and things have gotten bad, you need to learn how to just stop, drop, and pray. I mean, because Daniel, I remember there's a painting in one of the galleries in Europe of Daniel, and he looks like, he's ripped. I mean, you should see this painting. And it almost to the point of steroid suspicion, you know, of Daniel. And I don't know what he looked like in the physical, but in the spiritual realm, he was ripped. Because he didn't just start that day the first time he ever prayed. It's like Ben said last week, don't wait until the crisis hits to start your prayer life. Daniel prayed three times a day. It says when the word of the king came to no more prayer, Daniel every day opened those windows up and three times a day he prayed toward Jerusalem. He was a constant. Let me say, if you will pray the boring prayers every day, your life will be anything but. Can I get an amen in this Presbyterian church today? Long term, as long as it takes, long time. You know, we live in a culture that overvalues 15 minutes of fame and undervalues a lifetime of faithfulness. We live in a culture that overvalues the 15 minutes of fame and undervalues a lifetime. Come on, somebody. You know, you don't get to go. Many of you maybe travel some, but in the Asian countries, they still value age. Come on, somebody. How many appreciate Kenny and Janice ran the race here for how many years? Come on, somebody. 72 years old, still on fire for God. Come on. And Kenny and I used to talk all the time. We used to invite speakers in, and we'd say, we don't want that speaker. He's doing the same thing he did last year. He's doing the same thing he did 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago. He never changed. I'm going to tell you something valuable about a lifetime of faithfulness, thinking long term. Everybody say amen one more time. All right. Third one is this, is leave your gift at the altar prayer. Leave your gift at the altar prayer. Let me explain this one to you. Next scripture. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, Leave your gift before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to the brother and then come and offer your gift. Let me tell you something about prayer. I'm going to tell you something that will supercharge your prayer. Just go get it right with somebody. And you come back before God, you'll just feel. I told you this one time, I was at living with some people and when I was single. And I remember somebody come in to me about something and I sent them to that person. And the person came, called me and said, "Well, did you send this?" I said, "No." Hung up the phone. I lied like a dog. Come on, somebody. When I hung up that phone, I felt like, you ever felt like dirt? I just felt like, and Brother Eccles used to say, tell me, is it easier to sleep with a wet dog than a guilty conscience? You ever slept with a wet dog? Well, you never grew up in Virginia. Well, let me tell you a story now that I thought about Virginia. We grew pigs. We raised pigs in Virginia, and so we had a lot of pig jokes. And one time there was a man following a truck full of pigs, and they were going down the interstate, and they hit a construction putt, and one of the pigs popped out. And the man pulled over the side of the road and ran the pig down. Took him about 30 minutes. He finally grabbed the pig, got the pig, put him in his seat, and then kicked this car because he was about 30 minutes behind this pig truck. So, I mean, he's flying down the interstate, and a policeman is sitting there running radar, pulls out and pulls him over. Well, he comes up beside the car, and he looks in, and he sees a pig beside the man in the seat. He says, "What? Are you got a pig in your car?" And then the man goes, "Sir, he said, I'm running. Only reason I'm speeding is I don't speed. But I'm trying to catch the pig truck because it bounced out, and I waste about 30 minutes. I got to catch." He said, "You'll never catch that pig truck. You'll be pulled off somewhere. Just take the pig to the zoo." So the guy, you know, left, didn't write him a ticket. The next day, the policeman's out on the highway. He sees the same car come by, and the pig is still in the car. So he pulls the guy over. He said, "I thought I told you take that pig." He said, "I did. We had such a good time. We're going back today. Come on, somebody." Boy, that fits. Do you like the way I segued into that one? Yeah. I thought you'd like that one. All right, look at the next scripture. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not. Listen, how many know there's some prayers that are cursed prayers? I've heard some people pray some cursed prayers. Not cursing like curse, but I mean not cussing, curse prayers. Oh, God. Sick them. Come on, somebody. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Amen. Don't pray curse prayers. Pray for those. Look at Matthew again, but look at it in the Amplified. Bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. Bless them that curse you. So if when you are offering your gift at the altar, you there remember that your brother has any grievance against you, leave your gift at the altar and go. First make peace with your brother and then come back and present your gift. So there needs to be leave your gift at the altar prayer. And I do a whole thing on that. So let's move on to number four. The fourth one is according to the will of God prayers. According to the will of God prayers. 1 John chapter 5. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. So another way, the fourth way to supercharge your prayer life is to pray according to the will of God prayers. And you say, well, how do you do that? How do you know what is the will of God? Well, we can pray according to the will of God by praying God's word. One of the easiest ways, so how can I know the will of God? Pray his word. I understand that sometimes you have to know when to apply the word, when not to. But begin by praying. There's over 3,000 promises in the Bible that are promises of God to us. D.L. Moody said it this way: when I pray, I talk to God. But when I read the Bible, God is talking to me. And it's really more important that God should speak to me than I should speak to him. I believe we should know better how to pray if we knew the Bible better. You like that? Let's read that again. When I pray, I talk to God. But when I read the Bible, God is talking to me. And it's really more important that God should speak to me than I should speak to him. I believe we should know better how to pray if we knew our Bibles better. That's why we've started the daily Bible reading with all of us together. So if you've not got them, back on that back outline back there, we have a outline for the next 2 months. This month, January and February. And we got a large one and a small print one. So take it back there, stick it in your Bible. Stick it in your folder and use it every day to read the Bible. And one of the best ways I like to do is because if God were to tape your prayers and then play them back to you. I said in Japan they had this bug. I forgot the name of the bug, but it makes this sound just like it's saying me. And you listen to it, it goes me, 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 me. And I've got a feeling if God taped most of our prayers and played them back on fast, me, 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 kind of just, well, thank you for your enthusiasm this morning. And so you learn how to pray according to God's will. Instead of just praying this monotonous prayer you've got yourself into. Just pray the same old thing every day. Listen, there are prayers to emulate throughout the Bible. In fact, look at the one Paul prayed in Colossians. See if this resembles your prayer yesterday, if you prayed something along this line yesterday. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. Did that sound just like your prayer yesterday? Did that sound just like your prayer last night? Well, search the Bible. Pray according, if we pray anything according to His will. I'm going to tell you, everything Paul prayed right here was the will of God for that church. Everything Paul prayed was the will of God for the church in Colossae. It was for every young believer. It was for every old believer. It was for everybody. It was for every person's child. It was every person's baby, every person's grown children, their son, their daughter, their mom, their dad, everybody. That prayer was for everybody. So it was the will of God for that person and that life. And so one of the keys about supercharging your prayer life, and when you learn how to pray according to the will of God, you let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You let it just absorb in you. And one of the neat ways of doing it is you gotta get this little pen, and if you cannot write in your Bible, put that one in cellophane and go get you a Bible you can write in. Start marking it up. I told you one of the best things, I'm gonna leave my family. I've got about four or five Bibles. Well, I had four or five. I've got one Bible right now left that I had all my markings in. I've got markings. I've got this arrow drawn here and this. And that's one of my heirlooms I want to leave. And one of the keys I've learned to do is this, is use the word FM. Everybody say FM. Yeah, see, you ought to write FM and then you use another two of the letters, if. FM, if. And because most promises come with an if. If you will continue. If you will do. If. And there are contingencies many times to many of the promises that God gives. But you ought to put the word FM just for me. Come on, say for me. For me. FM, for me. If. For FM, if. FM, if. And when you find something that really moves you, something you want to do for your family, for whatever, put FM or for your church or for your sphere of influence or who you're praying for. FM, if. For me, if I will do this. And what happens is we begin to pray that. According to the will of God. It will supercharge your prayer life. When you pray knowing, I'm praying in the will of God. And John said, if we pray anything according to the will of God, we know that He hears us because we're praying the will of God. So know your Bible better. Let God speak to you. It's not a monologue. It's a prayer time. It's a dialogue. It's a dialogue. And so what happens is you begin to understand that God wants to speak. He spoke and He wants to speak to us. So that, know the will of God. And then the last one this morning is, number five is, my God can, but even if He doesn't, prayer. Amen. That's a good one. My God can, but even if He doesn't, prayers. Daniel chapter 3, let's read it together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire, and He will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if He does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Is he able? Absolutely. Is he going to do it? Yeah, we believe he's going to. But even if he doesn't do it, we're going to still pray and believe him. Even if he doesn't do it, we're not going to give in. Even if that will supercharge your prayer life when you know that God is able to do the impossible. But even if he doesn't, you're going to still serve him and worship him and adore him and magnify. Come on, somebody. That will just charge your prayer life. Yeah, Lord, thank you, God. Touch my child. Do this, Lord. But even if you don't, God, I'm still going to serve you and worship you all the days of my life. It'll just, listen, they were completely submissive to God's will. Now listen very carefully. In the final analysis, that they had, their faith was not in the circumstances, their faith was in their God. Their faith was not in their circumstances, their faith was in their God. And whether the circumstances ever changed or not, their faith never wavered in their God. Was he able? Absolutely, he's able. Is he? We serve a God that's more than able. But they were willing, listen, to be submissive to God's will. And I want you to read Hebrews 11 because it's very important you see this. Women received back their dead by the resurrection. Others, everybody say others. We started here just to save a little bit of time. But if you were to go back and read all the book of Hebrews, it starts out in Hebrews 1. By faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, being in the waters, out of the waters. Then he goes through this list of heroic deeds that all these men and women done. Moses. And most of the stuff is they left stuff. They walked away from stuff. They believed God. They saw God do this. They saw God do that. Just on and on and on. And then when he comes after us telling all these great exploits, it comes back in 35. It ends up that last part. Women received back their dead by resurrection. And then it goes here. And others, listen, by faith. Everybody say by faith. By faith, others were tortured, not accepting their release so that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others, by faith, experienced mockings and scourging, yes, also chains and imprisonment. By faith, they were stoned. By faith, they were cut, sawn in two. By faith, they were tempted. By faith, they were put to death with the sword. By faith, they went about in sheepskin and goatskin being dead. By faith, not one of them thought that their experience was a defeat. Not one of them said, our faith didn't make it. Our faith wasn't good enough. Never one of them. Listen, they did not count the experience that they went through as a defeat, but they counted as a submission to the will of God for their life. That's what happened to John the Baptist when he was put in jail and he never got released. And he sent word to Jesus, are you the coming one or should we look for us? He wasn't doubting, he was pouting. And Jesus sent him, P.S. John, tell him, blesses everyone that doesn't get offended at me. When you learn that you submit yourself to the will of God, when you learn that you submit yourself to the will of God, and all these men and all these women of days gone by, when whatever they prayed for did not come to pass, whenever they prayed for, the person was not healed, they were not delivered, they were not given, they never once counted it as a lack of faith and a defeat in faith. They counted it as being submissive to the will of God for their life. I know he's able, but even if he doesn't. God is able, but even if he doesn't, will supercharge your prayer life. When the great prophet, the statesman Isaiah, was being sawn in two, that's what history tells us. He was the one that was cut in two with a saw. How many know, listen, he saw things that nobody else saw. He prophesied of the coming of the Lord. He prophesied Isaiah 53, which was the inner musings of the Lord on Calvary. Boy, I've heard some prophetic words, but I've never heard somebody come out and prophesy the inner musings of the Lord on Calvary. There are things that Isaiah says and shares that Jesus thought in his heart that night, that day when he's hanging on the cross, that's never even recorded in the Gospels. But God showed Isaiah the prophet these things. Read Isaiah 53. Read what he prophesied. Read what he prophesied. Yet his life ended being cut in two. How many think that might be a little bit painful? Most of you had three epidural. Come on, somebody. I want to go there. Think about what he went through. And he never counted it as a failure. He counted it as a failure. He just counted as God is able, but even if he doesn't, I'll submit to the will of God for my life. I will do what the Lord. Lord, I don't understand now. I remember Brother Swaggart over in his building, and I won't go into all that, but Brother Swaggart did a good work for God for many years. Let me just say that. Yeah, I know the faults, I know the failures, but I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of people in heaven today because of him. And I was before his own master, a servant stands, or he doesn't stand before me. He's before his own master, he stands or falls. Doesn't stand before me. But there's a building over there. I forgot the man's name, but his son died. And great missionary. And I remember I heard him speak one time, and he talked about his son, and he said, "I refuse to go to hell over a mystery. I refuse to get mad at God over a mystery. I don't understand why God didn't heal my son after all I did for him. I don't understand that." But he said this, that "I refuse to get mad at God over a mystery." You know, when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, I'll never forget, Jasmine had a cousin, loved God with all her heart. I mean, loved God with all her heart. Her husband owned what was called the Goglenian Bakery, and it was a company that supplies bread to Taco Bell, Wendy's, and I mean, just, and then around the world. And they had, I think, third or fourth plant they opened up. Sold it to Rich Foods for $1 billion. Come on, somebody, $1 billion. And they had their life planned and ready. And she got cancer. And having the resources, they flew from everywhere to Spain to you name it, trying everything they could try, every new thing. They'd find out something in a country, they'd book a first-class ticket the next day, and they take off. And she got so weary and tired of doing that. And I remember we went out. They lived only three houses down from Kobe Bryant. That's where what's the place there? What's the area place? Newport Coast, down in California. And so we went there overlooking the Pacific, and we're talking with them. We're in their house. And I began to share that. I said, "Hey, you know, sometimes you understand that he's able, more than able, but even if he doesn't." And I remember the husband, after she went to be with the Lord, he called me, and he had he said he went to a service where his son-in-law, I forgot, one of his relatives was a young preacher preaching, and he preached on this scripture right here out of the book of Mark, and it's in out of the Garden of Gethsemane, and it says, and he said, "Abba, Abba, Father, all things are possible." Does it sound like the three Hebrew children in the fiery furnace? All things are possible. And I know you're able. All things are possible. Take away this cup from me. Everybody say, nevertheless. You know what kind of prayer that is? I know you're able, but even if you don't, I want to do your will. I want your will be done. Everybody say, nevertheless. Nevertheless. Not what I will, but what you will. Nevertheless, I know. And I remember a husband told me, his relative said, this young priest said, "You know, God did not even answer his own son's prayer. God did not answer even his own son's prayer. Nevertheless." So you want to supercharge your prayer life these 21 days? Pray that, "God, you're more than able, but even if you don't, I want your will done, not my will done." Everybody say amen. Amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering today, would you? Come on. Let's everybody stand up, would you? Come on, stand up just for a minute. I want you just to bow your head. And you know, one of the prayers that God never, ever refuses, and he's told in the Bible, says that all that come unto him, he will in no wise cast out. If you want to come to the Lord today, if you want to pray a prayer where you say, "Lord, would you save me?" God will never, ever refuse that prayer. That's one of those prayers that the Bible says, "Call unto me and I will answer you. All you that are thirsty, come and take of the waters of life freely." Anyone, Jesus said it this way. He said, "For God so loved the world, that whosoever," God sent his only son, "that whosoever believes in him Whoever, everybody say whoever. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And so this morning, the Lord wants to do that in your life. If you never really ever asked the Lord into your heart, you've never known a time when you were one way and then suddenly like something went off in your heart and you know that you're saved, well, then you're not saved. That it takes, see, you'll know if you're saved or not. If you have any questions, you're not saved. So the Bible's very plain about it. It says this, it says, all that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Just call on him, believe in the Lord Jesus. So I want to do that. I want to pray. Maybe you're not used to praying. And so we're going to pray, help you pray. I'm going to pray and then everybody's going to pray together with you. And if you want this, all it takes is asking. Ask and it shall be given. Ask and the Lord will save you. Ask. And if you want that in your heart, everybody pray with me. Say, dear God, today I want to be saved. I want you to change my life. I'll ask you to forgive me of all I've done wrong. Thank you for letting Jesus die in my place. I thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody say amen. Give the Lord a great clap offering one more time.